Ready now? Are we sure? Okay. Namaste and welcome. If you have any questions during this, just write it down and throw it in the bowl, and it'll get addressed. We hope. Then again, I may be at a loss for words. Do you have any words of wisdom concerning letting go of grudges? How appropriate. How appropriate, huh? No, there aren't any grudges. Not in this case. It's only making someone responsible for their actions. It has nothing to do with a grudge. But yeah, it doesn't do any good to hold grudges. The only one that you wind up hurting is yourself. And for what? If you think it's hurting the other person, it's not. You know? Yes, go ahead.
How about the grudges that are deeper? They're more, you don't think about them, but they're from the past and they're mm-hmm. kind of crystallized. Mm-hmm. Is the Kundalini going to just interact with that so you don't have to go after each particular one that you might have?
Yeah, it's not about going after particular issues. Now, if we're doing the energy work, yeah, things are going to come to the surface and you look at it and you let go of it. Okay, it just starts to release. But if it's the way to really get through all of this more rapidly is to find out what holds the grudge in place. It's the I. Me. I don't like. I don't want. This is not fair. So then you start to question through self-inquiry, what is this me that holds it in place? And when you get to cut that root, then the rest of it blows out. The rest of it blows out. So it's not necessary to go through every simple, you know, every incident in your life. You'll be there forever. You know, if you go this lifetime and other lifetimes, incident after incident. Huh? But yeah, sometimes when you're working, some things will come up. If you're doing especially a lot of direct energy work, you know, some cellular memories will come up and they'll let loose, diffuse, and you can let go of it that way as well. But it's much, much quicker in the end if you can really look and it starts to this process of self-inquiry, what is really holding us in place.
And then more recent grudges that one might have, then a good way is just to not focus on that, not to give it energy.
Yeah, don't
just
give
it. Just let it go.
Yeah, absolutely. Let it go. Go on with your life. What happens, happens. You know? We can't change what has happened in the past. We can only go forward from this moment, like now. I can't change what has happened. But I can go forward from now. I'm not going to let it ruin what is here. This satsang is important. Okay? This satsang is important. Okay? So we continue with what's here. Okay? Did you have something you wanted to say? I see you reaching for that mic.
Well, I was thinking that it's still the core issue is the I.
Yeah. Yeah, usually the
whether
core
it's
issue.
Whether it's a past grudge or a current grudge, again, you go to the core, which is...
Yeah, if it's a grudge.
The I holds it in place.
The I holds it in place. Absolutely. No, that's okay. Nothing to be sorry about. Yeah, like today's incident. Yes, I'm pressing charges. She needs to be arrested. She needs to be made accountable for actions. This girl has not been made accountable for any of her actions. She's using people. And then when she's not getting her way, you see what happens. She becomes violent. This is not okay. It's not about a grudge. You know, I don't care. Let her go off, do whatever she's going to do. But she needs to start being made accountable for her actions in order to get her to finally stop and look at herself, that somebody else is not doing this. She's the one that's doing. She's the one that's keeping this in place. She's the one that's causing her suffering. It wasn't at the hands of anyone else. She's the one that is causing her suffering. Okay? So, yeah. Have you heard anything about pictures of the January ceremony? No, I just have a few pictures. There were like 8 pictures sent, and that's it. I haven't heard anything else. Swamiji's still under the weather. As you know, his dog, that he was like his child, Caesar, had to be put down. And so he went into a grand funk after that. And now he's ill. He's got a real bad problem with his throat, and he's on medication, and he's in bed again. So, yeah, no, nothing's come forward yet with that. I guess, Kubera's mom or something? One of the guys there, she was going to take some things and get to a disc and get it to him, but I'm sure he hasn't had a chance to follow up on anything yet. But when I do speak with him, I'll ask him. I'll see if I can remember to ask him when he calls. He said as soon as he gets over this throat ailment that he will give a call. And I'll be sure to ask him about that. Yeah, I know. I would like to see the pictures from the ceremony as well. Yeah, the video would be great. So we'll see if we can follow that up if we got it. Translation of Hari Om. It's another way of doing a greeting for people. You have to go?
No, I'm fine.
Oh, good. Okay. She's on call today, so she may have to leave for emergency. Hari Om is another greeting that you do, like Om Namo Narayana, you know. Depending on where you are in India, there are different greetings. Sometimes it's Hari Om, sometimes it's Radhi Radhi. If you're in a primarily place where it's a lot of Krishna people, they'll do Radhi Radhi. yes, no, I'm not speaking to you. Her name is Radhi. So she says, I love that part of India. Everybody's greeting me all the time. Yes, she does. She does. When you go to that part of India and they're always going Radhi Radhi, she's like. So, yeah, it depends on where you're at in India. But Hari Om is just another standard, like blessings or greetings or recognizing Om is the first vibration and holds the fabric of the universe together, basically. It's what it translates out to. I better wait. I think this is one of her questions. But while she's away taking her page, I better do this. As a Satguru, what are some of the most common ways that you see the ego being challenged? And what is the main reason why people will often blow out? Well, they blow out because they don't think their needs are getting met, their wants. Huh? I want, I don't want, me, me, me. If it's not sugar-coated enough, if it's not what I want to hear, I'm going to go. You know? Ego is challenged by a lot of things. Once again, that thing of people come and they want everything to be sugar-coated. They want to be pampered. They want to be, you know, pat on the head. You're so wonderful, you know? And that's not what it's about. People think that, oh, if it's a spiritual path, then everybody should be sugary sweet to me. You know, and if you're honest and direct, they don't want to hear it, and they'll blow out. If you confront them with something that you see that's really not in their best interest, sometimes they don't want to hear it. Truth is not always honored. You know, I'd rather have the pampering lie rather than have just direct honesty. So yeah, a lot of people blow out because of that. Or they don't have the fortitude. They want to have bigger, grander experiences all the time, but it's not always like that. You know, you reach a sense, you reach a point of plateau for a while, and, you know, even the cycles of the universe have that. You have spring, summer, fall, winter, okay? There are different time elements to this. Same thing in spiritual practice. There are time elements. Sometimes you really seem like a lot of things blooming at that time, a lot of fragrance is coming, and then you have winter, and what happens? Things kind of die off, has to make way for new growth. Things lie fallow for a while. It takes time to germinate, takes time to for the next push, and then it goes again. But some people just don't have that staying power during that time where they're not seeing something actively. Doesn't mean that nothing's going on. But you have to have persistence. You have to have patience. You know, continue to do the practices that are given. Continue.
Do you think that people are growing more than they realize then as they go through life?
Oh, yeah. Unless they're just stuck in a, you know, in a rut. Unless they're stuck in a rut and they're just hearing what they want to hear. That happens. It was like a point in question. Yogendra went through that big funk for a while. And then he was emailing again the other day. And he goes, well, said I can't phone and I can't call. And I never said that. Then he went through the emails and he looked and he saw, where did I get that from? And he wrote back and he says, oh, out of chagrin, you know. I'm sorry, I apologize. You never said that. I said, no, I never said that. He said, where did I even get that from? I said, you tell me. I said, that was the mood you were in for that day, and that's what you're reading into that. You're seeing what you were ready to see, not what was there. So this is why it takes sometimes going back and re-looking at something. Give it a little time. Go back and re-look, and you'll see it in a whole different light. Nothing's changed. It's the same mail, the same book, whatever it is you're re-looking at. What's changed is your point of attention, your point of focus. So, yeah. We need to see if we're clear and we're not coloring things, you know.
Yeah. Wasn't he the one, is that coming out? Wasn't he the one asking about vairagya versus surrender?
He was the one that's confused about vairagya and surrender. Yeah, yeah. It was kind of like, well, I am surrendered, but I'm not, you know, I'm not moving forward, I'm not doing anything. I said, no, that's not, you know, surrender is not in not doing. Surrender means you're doing what's given. If you're surrendered to the guru is going to give you a practice and you're going to continue it. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden, well, I'm not attached to it, so I'm not going to do it. No, that's pushing away. That's once again buying into ego and I know better. I don't think I'm getting benefit, so I'm not going to do it, and I'm surrendered because, you know, that's not surrender. People confuse surrender with giving up and not doing, and apathy again, or just simply not doing.
Right. You actually get freed up from things.
We need to, Mike.
The little bits that I've surrendered, I found that it was like a burden actually being lifted because I'm free now of the anxiety I was having.
Yeah. Yeah, it's no longer under personal doership. Okay, I need to figure out the way. I need to be the point of action. No, if you can start to surrender and start to open heart and you do these things from the heart, you're going to move forward. If you do it, you know, because this is what's given, and you do it out of love, you do it out of attention, intention, then it's going to move forward. Absolutely. So people have a confusion with what's surrender and what's vairagya, non-attachment, versus what's, you know, versus apathy and not doing. There's a vast difference between surrender and non-attachment versus apathy and not doing. Okay, so please don't confuse those two. You know, all of surrender is a type of action. Sometimes it takes a lot to surrender. You want to do it your way in ego, and a guru is telling you, no, don't do it that way, do it this way. Surrender is doing it the way guru is telling you. So that's, yeah, it's difficult. Surrender is not easy. Or giving it over to the universe and say, whatever comes, I know is for my highest good. And then accepting what's coming. Okay. So, yeah, sometimes that's not easy. It takes a lot of fortitude to surrender and to let go and to actually trust and go with the flow of the universe versus the way that you want to manipulate it into place. Jesus has been called the first called. What does this mean? The first called. You mean the first and the last?
That's sort of part of my other question, the Alpha and the Omega, but I just, you know, in the more formalized religions, they say, you know, that Jesus was begotten, not made.
Firstborn son.
Something like this, right. So, I imagine that God has a plan for everything, and I don't know if he calls
people. You know, basically
people.
They say the same thing about avatars, that they're born in the flesh, you know, that they come in the flesh, but they're really not of the flesh. It's the same thing, you know, it's the same thing what they're referencing with Christ, you know, that he had a divine birth, that he's both flesh and he's spirit, but he's really not, you know, he's in the world but not of it. That same thing. Same thing with the avatars. Any of the avatars, they will go back and say they had divine birth. Whether it's Buddha, eventually they get around to saying, oh, they had a divine birth. Same thing. So this is not only indicative of Christianity, but most of the major religions have the same type of a thing within their storylines as they're trying to explain how this comes about. So yeah, this is nothing new. It's been around since before Christ came. These types of things were being espoused.
My other question is about when Jesus was baptized, and it says the Holy Spirit descended upon him. Does that mean that he was possessed by the Holy Spirit?
No. Doesn't mean he was possessed by the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing. Anybody that has a Kundalini awakening, it's the same thing. They would say, like, you know, or that they showed it, that the wind went through, the Holy Spirit went through like a big rush of wind, and then the tongues of the flames were seen above the heads. Kundalini awakenings. It was awakening. That spiritual awakening was happening. Okay, that was awakening within those people. But it doesn't mean that you're being possessed. It just means that's being awoken. It's a symbology, a symbolic way to show that there's been an awakening, or awakening is in process of happening.
So you equate Holy Spirit as the same as the Kundalini?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah, if you read the biblical references where it talks about the mighty wind that rushed through and then the tongues of the flames above the head, yeah, same thing. The infilling, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Same thing. Think not of what you're going to say first. When the time is right, the mouth's going to open. What needs to be said is going to come forth. It's the same thing as the guru does. I don't sit here and think about what's going to come out. What needs to come out does. It just simply flows. That's the way it is. So, yeah. Uh, Ah, yes. Jesus said, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. Can you explain? Yeah. The Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. If you see and you come to the point of realization, then you go into that absolute. It's the first. Shakti, same thing, the first and the last. That energy, that which makes creation, that which creation goes back into. Okay, so first, it's the last, it's everything, it's all in between, it's all that there is.
So when he said no man has seen the Father, does he mean man as far as personality? Because
no man has seen the Father and lived. It's blown out. Then you know you're not a man. You never have been. You are not this body. You are not this mind. This is not what exists. All that exists is that. So, yeah, then when you say you go through realization, there's a death. It means there's a death. There's a death of that consciousness that thinks you are something separate and God is something separate. And there's no. So, yeah, you don't see God and live as a persona. You don't see it and live as a persona, a perceptualized entity within yourself. You know that that is all that exists, that the divine essence of all that you are is that, and that everything you've thought you are was some storyline wrapped around events. But that's really not what you are at the core essence. The core essence is just that divine, pure essence of being, which is always untouched by whatever happens. You need the mic so it gets on the CD for people.
When he said, no man cometh to the Father except through me, that also meant that he had the awakening and you will do it the same way as I did it or not at all type
yeah,
of thing.
It's just, yeah, it's the same thing. He kept pointing towards liberation, pointing towards the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. What I am doing.
Once again.
Or also, you know, the I am that I am. What is God? What is it called? I am that I am. Okay. I am. Then you go even beyond I am to absolute. It simply is.
Again, the intellectual conveyance of this only goes so far, and that's why the direct experience is needed.
Right. You have to get there, and there's a path. Everybody walks that path eventually to some degree. Doesn't mean that everybody's going to be nailed to a cross and crucified, but everyone has some, you know, the difficulties. You have the temptations. You have the feeling of the wilderness. You have the feeling of the temptations. You have all that stuff you have to go through. You have to be willing to sacrifice yourself. To be willing to go into the absolute, you have to be willing to face death. Let go. The entrance to the Holy of Holies is that death, basically. What's being sacrificed? Ego. That sense of attachment to this body, this mind, these emotions, this storyline, that's what's sacrificed, that's what's nailed.
I know some people who have had a kind of samadhi say that what they viewed was through the eyes of the spirit. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah. It's not something you're going to see with physical eyes. When you go into the absolute, you go into a nirvikalpa, a full nirvikalpa samadhi, you're not seeing with physical eyes. You're not perceiving with the senses. If somebody comes along and touches you at that moment, you feel like you're dead. You've withdrawn so far. So you're not viewing something. It's not a personality that's going there and viewing God. There's no awareness of a personality whatsoever. No awareness of a world whatsoever. Nothing that is seen whatsoever, it simply is. You can't explain it with rational mind. It simply is, and it's more present than anything you see here physically. You could deny this much easily afterwards than you could deny what that is. That's why after Nirvikalpa, when people come out, this world seems like they say it's nothing more than a dream state, because this has no sense of reality at that point. The only thing that's real at that point is that essence. So this is why you find a little conflict in some of the writings of non-duality. When you first come out, then you're going to write and say, yes, nothing exists except for that. This world is nothing more than a dream state. It's all illusion, because that experience is so strong. But then as things begin to center and things begin to still, then you see that it's not separate. Then you see that Shakti in this world is just as valid, that it all stems from that. There is no separation. So this is why you see a little bit of differentiation in writers. Like even Sankacharya, the greatest living, that was the living proponent of Advaita. At first he was in that cognition that there's nothing except for that. But towards the end of his life was when he wrote all the odes to Shakti, the beauty of Shakti, that fragrance. Because then you see that, this is why I said, at first you're in Maya, you're in this illusion that you think there's separation, there's something other than. So therefore you're suffering. But then once realization comes, then you're in Leela. It becomes the play of God. Whatever happens, this is why it doesn't matter what happens, you no longer, gravitate to it. Like today's incident. Okay? It was momentary. That's it. It's over. The only residual effect is you see the skin is swollen at the moment. But other than that, no, nothing. Nothing to hang on to. Nothing that sits there and, I won't sit here and leave here and go round and round and round about it for days on end. It's a point. It's gone. It's finished. So after realization, the consciousness, it changes. You no longer hold to things. Life is fragrance. And once again, as you see, it doesn't mean that bad things are not going to happen. You're not going to live a quote-unquote charmed life. Huh? You could still get beat. You can still get robbed. Okay? Things like that happen in this world. But there's no longer any clinging to any of those events. It's momentary. And you go back immediately to the fragrance. Okay? There's no attachment to the physical form. Okay. Let's go forward. That's why I didn't go running to the hospital. Why? This is more important. Okay? This is only a physical form. It's nothing. Okay? This is more important. Okay? You want to keep it here for a while? It's not going anywhere immediately with this. Trust me, it can wait for a few hours. Okay. What is pranayam? It was mentioned in an email. Okay. Prana means breath. Pranayama is using breathing to change consciousness. Sometimes they use it to try to awaken Kundalini. You'll see, I have one video here on the yogis of Tibet, and you'll see one guy doing this real extensive pranic breathing technique. But it's not needed. What I teach you is sufficient. If you can do this relaxed breathing, you can get this air balanced between the two nostrils and you keep it even. This helps to still the mind. The focus on this keeps you present, and it helps to keep the energy balanced in the body without drawing more on one side or the other side. So this is all this effort that they're trying to do. They're trying to, you know, either awaken, but once it's awakened, you really need to get this balanced. And to do some of these pranic exercises without, and even the yogis in this video will tell you, don't do these. Yeah, you see me doing this, but don't try this. Don't, because it can be dangerous. You can awaken too much more than you're ready for. But what I give you, that relaxed breathing, to do this balanced shanti breath, to keep it balanced between both sides, that's safe. That's safe. It can only help everyone. Okay. Whether you're going through awakened kundalini now or whether you're just trying to, you know, get through the day, it can help to relax you, can help you to diffuse things more readily through that method. Yeah. Yeah, pranayama is not something you want to mess around with. Because if you're breathing too much on one side of the channel and a kundalini awakens, it's like feeling like you're going to spontaneously combust. It's not pleasant. It's really not pleasant. It can activate one side of the body more than the other, and it can really wreak havoc with your health. It's not healthy.
Is that awakening connected with the... Is the kundalini awakening connected with the pituitary gland?
Don't worry about where it's connected with, okay? It's not necessarily body-centered. You feel it in the body. It's awakening a type of consciousness, okay? But yeah, when you feel it, sometimes you'll feel it in the very bottom of the spine. You'll feel it going up the spine, or you'll feel it diffusing through the body. You'll feel it like ants. You'll feel it like a snake. You'll feel it like a monkey from branch to branch. You could feel it in all sorts of different ways. What you're feeling is the activation of the whole body system. There's 72,000 nadis. You can feel it anywhere within there or all of it at once. Okay. Yeah, so this is why I say it's much better to be centered in the awareness of what's happening with it rather than being body conscious about it. We don't want to be body conscious about it. We want to really understand how it's moving your awareness. Because there are seven different layers of awareness: survival, then sexual, then, you know, identity, and then, you know, trying to branch out, and heart-centered versus closed. And it just goes through different layers. And yeah, some different things will be felt in the body in different places. This is like, you know, you have cellular memory. If I work on body systems, I might touch a knee and certain emotion will come up. Might touch the thigh and some other type of emotional something that's stored will come up to the consciousness. Okay, so these things get locked, they get stored in the body. You feel it in the body, but don't be body-centered with it. And so that is it for our questions this morning. We'll go ahead and take a quick break, have some tea, and then we'll have some meditation time. Thank you for coming.